broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, I'm not crazy, about the Cougs having to play Arizona in the Sweet 16. Arizona might be the best team in this deal. They're the number two overall seed because Gonzaga got the number one seed. But the Cougs are playing Friday night against UAB. Then they've got the winner of Illinois and Chattanooga. After that, they've got Arizona. And then to get to the, Villanova, as far as a two seed, okay. Villanova's a pretty good team. Tennessee as a three seed is a monster. Tennessee's got to get through Longwood, who's making their first ever, the Lancers making their first ever appearance. And then Michigan. And Colorado State, the winner of Michigan and Colorado State. And I'm not sure that it won't be Colorado State. But you want to talk about a gauntlet. The Cougs had the easiest road to the Final Four, I think, last year in NCAA history. They played the highest seeds ever to get there. This year might be one of the toughest.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because Doug Kazarian, who is a big, he does a lot of stuff with ESPN's gambling information now, he's got an entire paragraph that says, sleeping on Houston. He says, the South region is interesting in that it offers a couple teams that have proven they are capable of beating and losing anyone in number two Villanova, number four Illinois. I realize that's the beauty of the NCAA tournament, but these are schools that can truly lay the biggest of eggs. In terms of sleepers, Houston plus 800 to win the South region stands out. The problem is that the Cougars potentially have to go through Illinois, Arizona, and Tennessee. Perhaps it makes more sense to roll over some money lines, but I do like Kelvin Sampson and the Cougars. Ken Pom ranks them in the top 11 in both adjusted offensive and defensive efficiency. He goes on to say Tennessee at 20-1 title odds will be the chic pick, and rightfully so, yada, yada, yada. But I thought it was interesting making the point that maybe Houston is a team that is the value pick at plus 800. That seems like a lot of games to get through. That's a lot of grinding to do. And you're right; they did have some. They benefited from their bracket.
Huge benefits last year.
Yeah,
every year a bracket gets there's upsets in brackets every year. I don't see Arizona losing to now. TCU is kind of dangerous in that they upset Kansas and Baylor in back-to-back games. So they can be giant killers. I don't think there's any question about that. But Arizona, having to face possibly Illinois, followed by Arizona, followed by Tennessee, is a bit much to ask. So I'm not sure that I love this bracket. There ain't no easy brackets. I don't think there's any question about it. But I'm not crazy about it. While Villanova, I think, is not the best of two seeds. Tennessee being a three seed is just a killer. That's just a killer, especially when they should be the two seed. If you want to know the truth, they're better than Duke, who is a two seed, probably equal to Kentucky or Auburn. Tennessee was the SEC champ. Tennessee rolled over everybody. Now, it is different in the postseason. We'll see. There have been plenty of times that he's definitely choked and choked away good opportunities. But I'm not crazy about this draw for the University of Houston. Is there anything else that you about the tournament? Did you look over the brackets that you like?
I looked it over a little bit. I want to go through everything through the one thing I've learned is that you pick through a bracket with a gambler's eye. So use somebody who is used to handicapping us. I'll tell you who we need to get on is AJ.
Mm-hmm.
If he'll wake up.
Yeah.
Because AJ's following all these guys. We need to get AJ on the show. Although when you were gone, I texted him like, hey, you interested in doing some radio? And I never heard back. So I don't know that he's interested in waking up necessarily. But let's see about getting AJ on because he does follow this stuff pretty carefully.
What about Texas getting Virginia Tech as a Texas a 6 and Virginia Tech as an 11?
Oh, no, they could 100%.
I watched a lot of Virginia Tech this weekend.
They're
Mutz. They're is a beast.
They're feisty. They're feisty. They got beat at the. They beat Clemson at the gun. Yeah.
They won the ACC.
Everything. Yeah. Well, I was trying to remember the matchup, because it was fun watching those guys go back and forth. But
they beat everybody. No, beat North Carolina. Beat Duke.
Are you sure that? Let me look up the futures real quick. So here are the biggest favorites in that game. By the way,
I think Texas is a favorite, and people like Texas in that game. I don't know not the way that Virginia Tech's been playing. Holy crap, were they good this weekend?
I think the thought is Chris Beard is going to be.
What?
Give the Longhorns. There's not. I don't see a line.
Chris Beard is going to what?
Texas is a 1-point favorite.
Yeah, it ain't like yeah.
Milwaukee, but Wisconsin. Like, I don't know that favors anyone from a travel standpoint. Here are your favorites. Odds to win the East Region, Kentucky. Well, let me see if I can get the whole thing. As a matter of fact, your odds to win the championship: Gonzaga +260. Don't like it. Arizona +675. Kentucky +675.
That's pretty good value.
Yeah. Kansas +850. Baylor +1400. Villanova +1400. Tennessee +1450. Iowa +1450. Duke is +1550. Man, they've really fallen off.
Iowa needed a backboard three to win that game. Now they won.
Houston's +2900, by the way.
Houston is what?
+2900. Nice. I don't give them that much of a chance, but. I guess the last ones you're really looking at, I think Auburn's got a legit shot still.
Yeah.
They're +1550.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good basketball team. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There's a good 7-8 teams that can win this whole thing. It's amazing to me, North Carolina, how good they looked against Duke, and they just look like crap. They're an 8 seed. North Carolina is an 8 seed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just amazing. Of course, Duke does not look good right now. Duke just is not this team has too much pressure. That this Krzyzewski's thing is too much pressure for this Duke team. Just way too much. And you can almost feel it for them, for those kids. It's bad to be the last team for Coach Krzyzewski. Everything is riding on every single game now,
mm-hmm.
and has been. Not winning that tournament game, not beating Virginia Tech was probably a killer for them. But Kansas is certainly live. They're in Fort Worth. That they're going to be. Do you want to talk about those people? They're crazy about that basketball team. They filled that place up, and for that championship for the whole week, they filled that place, Kansas City, up. So this could be fun. Cougs play 8:20 on Friday night. Cougs play at 8:20 on Friday night, and Texas Southern has a play-in game against Texas A&M Corpus Christi to play Kansas. So you get a tournament. Hopefully, Texas Southern gets a tournament win before they face Kansas. I don't like them against Kansas as much. I'm not as thrilled about. I like them against Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Not crazy about them. That's Willis Wilson, though, huh? Willis Wilson is still at Corpus Christi.
I don't know if he's still there.
I think he is. Yeah, and they've got Texas Southern. Wow, it's Rice against Texas Southern. Former Rice against Texas Southern in that one.
Yeah, he's not. He retired.
He did?
March 2021.
Oh.
Yeah. So coach is not there.
Damn
he retired.
It.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been a good matchup.
I mean, unless he came back the city, after COVID.
The city would have been, you know, Texas Southern against a former Rice coach. The city would have been all up in arms about this game.
Would they have?
I think.
Okay.
I think so. 908 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Nobody wants to talk about the tournament. I mean,
they never do.
NCAA tournament with great. How fun it is. It's the greatest.
We'll help you fill your brackets out. And speaking of that, it's that time right now. You can go to our website, ESPN 97.5, 92.5's fourth annual Bracket Madness. It's presented by Bud Light and it's supported by Rambler Sparkling Water. We're going to be giving away prizes to 97.5 winners. And yes, the 0.5 winner, it's the penultimate winner, second to last in the whole bracket. We're giving a prize away there, too. Did we mention this is all free? Here's some of the prizes. 65-inch 4K LG LED TV from Audio Visual Consultations, $50 gift cards to the Burger Joint, Chewy's Fine Tex-Mex, Smashburger, and much more. Head to ESPN975.com to register right now. It's Bracket Madness presented by Bud Light, America's favorite light lager. And that's one of the things we're going to do is get you guys over the next couple days. We will have some experts come on to give you some insight into where the best matchups are, where the longest shots will be to make it through to Sweet 16, to Elite 8, Final Four, so that you have the best shot for your bracket. So we will we'll help you do that with people who are experts in the field. Do you speaking of experts in the field, one of our guys who knows a lot about baseball, basketball, football, this guy's called in the show for years and years. He's the best at getting pictures taken at his own house.
Mm-hmm.
It's Gilbert. Let's see what Gilbert's got going
on
today.
What does Gilbert have going on today? Hey, Gilbert.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good.
And Lance? I'm glad they seem to be back on the market anyway, you know.
What's that?
I wonder what happened to Roger Craig anyway. Remember him?
Roger Craig?
No, Roger Gray. You'd be a DJ.
Roger Gray?
Yeah, you were with Channel 26 a long time ago.
Yeah, I vaguely remember him.
Haven't thought about him in a while.
Radio.
He's still alive or he dead?
Yeah, Roger Gray. Let's look up. Dead or alive. What's your bet, Gilbert?
You were with Channel 26 a long time ago.
Do you think he's dead or alive?
I think he's still alive, Roger Gray.
Oh, no, he's got a LinkedIn page.
What?
Apparently, he is a news director in Amarillo.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Really?
You were with Channel 26 back in the early 70s, you know?
Right.
You remember the all-night movies on Channel 26?
Not so much.
And the call contest and they whip people up anyway?
Oh, yeah, here he is.
That was pretty funny anyway, you know?
Yeah, here he is.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was funny anyway. What happened to... let's see, the other guy. Sam Malone, what's he at now?
Oh, Sam Malone is actually doing some, not lobby, he's doing some consulting for, I think it's for political consulting, if you want to know the truth. Or
I think he may be back on.
Maybe he's helping politicians buy ads on radio and television. That's what he's doing.
I think he's still doing some radio stuff.
Is he?
I think.
Yeah. My daughter, Frankie, had a meeting with him.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and he was going to help get ads placed.
So there you go, Gilbert.
There you go.
We helped you find two people that you randomly wanted to know about in radio with a simple Google search.
You were thinking about them. And you know what? They appreciate you thinking about them because I don't know that a lot of people have been thinking about them.
Maybe they wanted it that way.
Yeah. No, maybe. I think, no, Sam Malone, but Roger Gray is probably sitting over there going, why are people talking about me on the radio in Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was a big deal here, I guess.
He's in Amarillo now?
I remember his name. Yeah, he's a news director or something. So there you go, Gilbert.
There it is. If there's anything else you need, anybody want to find out about any old news people, all you have to do is give us a call at 713-780-3777.
We'll Google it for you, assuming. Now, I know that guy who just called in does not have a smartphone. I'm assuming most of you do, and you do have a Google function at some point in your life. Gilbert does not, so we will answer his call regarding that. I think most of you can find it, though.
Well, if not, you can call us.
Most of you have that ability to...
But if not, you can call us, and we'll answer.
No, it's...
That's good radio.
It's good radio.
It is.
Hey, can you tell me whatever happened to this guy? Yeah, sure.
Click. No, it's not click.
Click.
It's we'll answer.
Click.
We're the answer man.
Yeah.
Do you want to know where somebody is?
Yeah, I mean, if you got a question about a schedule or anyone's statistics, we'll just Google it for you. We'll just search it for you. Don't worry. Like, if you may be saying, where do I get my car, Lance? I'm glad you asked. LanceZCars.com. Go to LanceZCars.com. You can see all the vehicles they have in inventory. You have pictures of the ones they have in inventory, and then you also have video. You have pictures of vehicles that are going to be in inventory that are in transit right now. I'll give you an example of what you can do right now. Truck Month is going on right now. They've got a $1,000 accessory allowance toward the purchase of a new 2022 Chevy Silverado 1500 LTD Silverado HD or Colorado with eligible accessories. This is just an example of one of the things that they're doing right now. And there's other offers going on right now, 0% financing for the Chevy Equinox, for example. The Chevy Silverado, I mentioned, the 0% for well-qualified buyers as well. And there's never a bad time to take a look at trucks. Right now, on the front page, you can go to look at a 2020 Chevy Silverado 1500 pickup truck with murdered out tires for $40,994. This is an example of one of the vehicles that they have with a V8 engine that was pre-owned, and now is your opportunity to get a great deal on this vehicle. It's got 64,000 miles on the odometer. If you're someone who's looking for a work truck, that might be perfect for you. But you won't know it unless you go to the site. Go to LanceZCars.com. That's LanceZCars.com. Chevy, find new roads.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, it's 9:17 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Stuff that happened over the weekend. Tom Brady dominated the end of the weekend with his announcement that he's coming back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
How surprised. I was shocked this year, like,
yeah,
that Tom's going back to Tampa. I thought this whole thing was potentially about getting out of Tampa. So I was actually pretty surprised he's coming back to Tampa.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm that. I wasn't, when I saw it first last night, I was like, okay.
Well, that's kind of how, well, I was surprised, but I don't know. It's weird. I was very surprised to hear about it, but I wasn't shocked just because he's left some doors open. I don't know. This is, it's weird that he even retired. Why he didn't wait for a full month
right
after? Why not
that's
wait it
thing
out? Because it kind of looks bad.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? It kind of looks like Tom Brady had never been a desperate athlete who wants to stick around and can't quit the sport like so many boxers, like Jordan ended up being, like, you know, like a lot of, like, a lot of Brett Favre kind of had that. I never viewed that as Tom Brady. And when Tom Brady shut it down, I thought, okay, Tom's shutting it down. I mean, you could have said John Elway could, you know, John Elway still had something left. He could have kept playing. When he shut it down, he shut it down. Andrew Luck's never come back. And he clearly has plenty left in the tank, you would think. Barry Sanders shut it down, and he could have definitely kept playing football. So when Tom Brady shut it down, I didn't think he would be a guy who would come back. For him to come back this early, kind of, I don't know, it kind of a little bit looks a little bad for Tom.
I think. Don't know. I think it's better than the way Brett Favre did it. You know, it just kept lingering and lingering and lingering and lingering.
Was this the beginning of,
I don't know,
lingering Tom Brady?
I don't know.
Because this is our first sniff of it.
Maybe, because it's always going to be at the end of, now what's going to happen at the end of this year? Tom, are you coming back? Are you coming back, Tom?
I haven't. I made my mistake last year. I don't know. We're just going to wait it out.
But that's just going to be the question over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
It certainly made the NFC a lot tougher. How does it change your view of who's the favorite now?
Tampa's the favorite. I put Tampa the favorite over the Rams.
Do you like them over the Rams and the Packers?
Well, let me see what happens with the Rams. Maybe not. I think you have to say Rams. But realistically, the team that wins the Super Bowl is not coming back to win it the next year. No, Rams
but
probably have a small.
But they're still going to be really,
because
really
the Rams
good
beat Tampa.
Depending on Odell, too.
Rams beat Tampa twice. So you got to. Yeah, they beat them in the playoffs, too. Yeah. No. Yeah, they did. Primarily because you had corner play that was shoddy. Like, frankly, Tampa.
Yeah.
Well, no, Tampa got back in that game. That's right. That was a game Tampa got back in that they should have never been in.
Well,
so if you look at the convincing wins twice.
Did you see Jalen Ramsey's tweet? He's thrilled. Thank God I'm not the last guy you threw a touchdown pass on. And that ball went for $518,000.
Oh, God.
Now it's going to be like the 31st ball that Tom Brady threw. The 31st from last.
What will make more money? An NFT of Tom Brady throwing a touchdown or the last ball?
Well,
I'm going to predict that Tom Brady.
I'm not buying that last ball until 7 years after Tom Brady retires.
That's
now
what you get for believing Tom Brady. He's not that dissimilar to other athletes.
But how about paying $518,000 for that ball?
Sounds terrible.
And it's the last football. It's just another pass. It's just another ball now.
How about paying $518,000 for it?
No, $518,000.
$5,000 would seem like too much.
Yeah, no, $500 would seem like too much. I mean, honestly, what? Because Tom Brady touched it?
Just buy an NFT of Tom Brady throwing a ball and it turns into a flower and whatever, and then pay $2 million for it. Just do that.
That seems like a much better deal than that $518,000. That dude's got to be pissed.
That guy's got to be pissed.
Oh my God! I paid $518,000 for a football. It's just a football now.
Lou Daddy said Tom had 2 weeks with the wife and kids and said, "Bleep this." There's a chance. Like, there's definitely.
He's been with his wife and kids in the off season before.
Yeah, but this is for all of eternity.
Yeah. Well,
there's a finality to this.
There is some finality. Kevin Durant called out the mayor of New York City for the vaccine policy, and I can't blame him. Kyrie Irving was able to go to the game, sit in the stands without a mask on, but he couldn't play in the game.
Wait, but is this the mayor's deal? Because I thought every individual business also has the right to conduct their business how they want to. Like Broadway.
Vaccine
mandates are over. You know that in New York, right?
Yeah, but you cannot. Apparently, you can't work in New York City for the government unless you have or...
He doesn't work for the government.
No, you can't work in New York City, apparently. I don't know why, but you can't work at the arena or... I don't know.
But I don't think stupid. That's Eric Adams' call.
It is Eric Adams' call.
It is?
Yeah.
You're positive.
He said, I can't... Yes, he
could Eric say... Eric Adams said they wanted to
He said
to
on
be-
CNN, I can't let him do it and then tell all these government workers that they have to be vaccinated. I can't do it.
Well, but is it his call to make?
Yeah.
The mayor of New York City, is it not a statewide thing?
No, I think it's a city... It's a city thing, not a statewide thing. Whatever. It is stupid. It's ridiculous. He was able to sit in the stands without a mask on,
right.
But he can't play in the game. It's the dumbest stuff ever.
So it's a private
and
sector
visiting
mandate.
Teams can come in here and play without being vaccinated.
Here it is right here. The Nets have been patiently waiting for Eric Adams and the city of New York to flip their vaccination mandates. You know, he's a big Nets fan, by the way.
Yeah.
To get Kyrie Irving back in time. Although Adams has ended or modified other vaccination mandates, the private business mandate remains active, barring any unvaccinated employee from a city workplace. That's the mandate keeping Brooklyn superstar guard off the home floor. In short, the current situation allows him, along with unvaccinated fans, in the building, but not permitting him to play. Kevin Durant said, it's ridiculous. I don't understand it at all. I don't get it. It just feels like at this point now somebody's trying to make a statement or point to flex their authority. Didn't make any sense. There are unvaxxed people in the building already. We got a guy who can come. I mean, no, it doesn't really make
makes
any sense.
It doesn't make any
sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Especially when visiting players can play and he can't. It's just stupid. Here's something that went by that really under the radar. The Vikings signing Pro Bowl quarterback Kirk Cousins to a 1-year, $35 million extension, guaranteed, puts him under contract through 2023. He gets a raise to $40 million in 2022, $55 million payable by next March, and a no-trade clause. Wow. Kirk Cousins is just living the best life. Woo-wee!
People want athletes to get their biggest bag. There he is. Don't get mad at Kirk Cousins.
I'm not mad at Kirk Cousins.
Don't anyone get mad at Kirk Cousins. He keeps gaming the system better than
any. Vikings, do you have to do this?
Yeah, you don't really have a choice. You're trying to free up money this year. You did this deal so you could create money for this year. So what you're hoping is maybe you trade Kirk Cousins next year before the offseason. That's possibly because we know that the last head coach hated Kellen Mond. He thought he was terrible. So I don't know that they have quarterback answered, depending on what the new GM and head coach think. But they could, you know, one of the things that has been talked about is potentially, it's not going to happen now, but Deshaun Watson maybe having an affection for Minnesota in their situation.
Well, guess
if
what?
It's about winning, Minnesota's got a lot. But I don't think you can do it with Kirk Cousins unless you want to trade Kirk Cousins to the Texans. And then even then, they're going to take a hit financially. The Vikings are, so I don't think it makes a lot of sense.
No,
I don't. From a dead cap standpoint, he's really could potentially be untradeable depending on what kind of space they have cap-wise.
For those of you that haven't been able to keep up this morning, Anirban Lahiri is leading the players. Paul Casey just finished. He's 8 under. He's just finished his third round. Sam Burns is right there at 8 under as well. Munoz and Ginn and Cameron Smith is are both at 8, and Cameron Smith -7. What a crazy, crazy Saturday with the wind blowing. Did you see Brooks Koepka hit the ball and just started laughing? How?
Because it was that bad.
It was that. It just, the wind just took it. 17 was the hardest hole in the world. You can't, it was so unbelievably difficult to just get a ball on the green to stay on the green. There were 8s and 9s, and it just was just ridiculous. Just ridiculous how difficult that hole was. Not everybody had to play it. If you were done, if you had Thursday morning tee times, you were had such a huge advantage. Those guys that played Thursday afternoon didn't finish until Friday, and then they had to go back out and sat. It was just the worst.
Who's the black golfer that I just saw a while ago?
Harold Varner Jr. The third.
Oh, that's Varner.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's up there on the leaderboard. He's been up there all weekend long. So. He's having himself a nice tournament. It's 9:27 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What about your patio, Lance?
Texas Custom Patios couldn't be happier with the opportunity to go out there and watch tournament games with the kids. We're going to do that this weekend. We're going to make some steaks and watch games on Thursday night. We're already planning that. That's one of the coolest things is being able to watch your games. And, you know, a lot of times people will go for lunch somewhere and they'll go watch, have beers with friends. But then we got games in the evening. What are you doing in the evening? Well, if you have your Texas Custom Patios, now, obviously you can't do it for this March Madness. But I'm just telling you right now, that's a great example of watching playoff football, playoff basketball, March Madness, baseball in the summer. It doesn't matter. There's so many opportunities for you to enjoy your patio. And maybe it's just your kids watching, you know, a Marvel Comics movie out on the patio, so you don't have to. You can have your TV set up. It's a big screen TV. You get the sound system embedded in the gabled roof, and you can deck it out in any way that you see fit. But I'm just telling you right now, usually Stephen Schell and his designers will give you the best opportunity to recognize how to build out your patio to get the most enjoyment and the most value from it when it comes time to resell your home. TexasCustomPatios.com. Make sure that you go to the website and set up your consultation so you can see about living your best life and improving the quality of your home. It's TexasCustomPatios.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Astros have reported pictures of them in West Palm all coming out. There's a picture of Jose Altuve shaking hands with James Click. Altuve's jersey is out. He looks a little sloppy, a little slovenly. We need to tuck your shirt in there, Jose Altuve. This is it's golf, and we're gonna dress accordingly. Carlos Correa, big topic of conversation this morning, and the news that, well, and the information that if he signs a long term deal. Carlos Correa's former William Morris agency would receive a lot of the compensation, whereas Scott Boras would not. So Scott Boras allegedly working on a deal, a 6-year deal with a 1-year out. And then he would, after that 1 year, Scott Boras redo another deal, or Carlos hits free agency and signs with another team. But it looks like the Astros are the favorite now. to get him for 1 year. They look like the favorite to get him for 1 year here. I'm hoping that he does a 2 year out. But you know what? It is what it is. If you can get Carlos Correa for one more year, it opens the window a little bit more. Jeremy Pena's sitting there going, what the? Thought I was giving my shot this year. Thought I was going to get a shot. Too bad, so sad. What are you talking about, too bad, so sad? How about turn your mic on, and then you can talk.
Too bad, so sad. I'm not interested in...
In Jeremy Pena?
Not if Carlos Correa could be here. Maybe you're anti-Carlos Correa, but I'm not.
No, I'm a big fan.
Hashtag Team Correa. You can be hashtag Jeremy Pena
It would behoove them, though. Okay, let's say Carlos Correa does sign. Wouldn't it behoove them to bring Jeremy Pena up? And instead of Ledmus Diaz, you use Jeremy Pena as a utility infielder, get some at-bats at the major league level. It certainly would be nice because it looks like Carlos Correa is going to be here one more year, and that'll be it, one and done. And then it's time to see whether or not. And all those at-bats that he's going to get would be awesome for him going forward. I think it'd be nice if Jeremy Pena was. Now, you start his clock, which the Astros don't want to do, but. Oh well, you know what? It's more important that he gets at bats at the major league level than it is.
You know what? This is kind of a weird. In a weird way, this could be a little bit of a. I mean, it's not bad having Carlos Correa back if he comes back on a 1 year deal, but the short term benefit of just the feel good. Hey, Carlos is back, even for a year. It's a lame duck year. You know that he's going to opt out if he's any good at all.
Well, we knew last year was a
lame duck year. Difference is, what I want to get to is the difference is it slows down. You're making the point. It slows down the growth and progress of another young player who's going to actually be a potentially core player when the other one is just you're just delaying the inevitable. I'm not saying I wouldn't want Carlos back. I would 100% want him back for 1 year. Now, if Justin Verlander was retired. Here, let's do this exercise. Let's say Lance McCullers says, so Lance McCullers apparently has come out and said he's not going to be ready at the beginning of the year. I want to see if he's ready to play baseball this year at all. But let's say in the worst case scenario, Lance McCullers didn't pitch this year and Justin Verlander had not come back to the Astros. Would it benefit the Astros really long term from a 1 year deal with Carlos Correa if they didn't have the pitching to really compete at the highest level?
No.
Would you be better off maybe getting young Pena started as opposed to, you know, the feel good of Carlos being there for a year? Because that will wear off if Carlos doesn't play as well.
Yeah. No. If they weren't, listen, if you're going to go into a rebuild, then you want.
What if they were a reload? I don't think it's a rebuild, but if you say it's a mini rebuild, obviously. Now, if Lance McCullers is there, And you already know Justin Verlander has, you know, re-upped with the Astros, provided he comes back and pitches well, which I'm just assuming. I know he's older and he hasn't pitched basically for 2 years, but I'm sitting here expecting him to be as good as he's ever been. Is that stupid?
No.
Am I dumb?
I expect that too.
No, but why are we expecting that?
Why not? Just because he hasn't pitched for you? He's still Justin Verlander. He's great. Because he's still great. The last one we saw of him, he was...
I know, but that was 2 years ago, and he's getting to an age where pitchers really fall off. But for some reason, maybe it's because it's out of sight, out of mind. I'm just assuming he picks up right where he left off. And it's more likely that Derek Stingley Jr. with LSU is more likely to pick up where he left off in 19, where you forget about his 20 and 21. You're more likely, because of his age and his likelihood to get better, Stingley... You're better off leaning on his 19 and expecting him to be better.
Verlander.
But Verlander is old. He's an old pitcher right now.
And he just won a Cy Young as an old pitcher.
But he didn't pitch for 2 years. That's a lot. When you talk about getting that everyone's rusty after missing 5 days, how about 2 years?
I'm not worried about
that. That's not rust?
That's not rust.
So 2 years not rusty, but 5 days rusty.
Right. No. You get out of rhythm. There's a difference.
Okay.
You get out of rhythm.
But how's his rhythm?
His rhythm was perfect.
He hasn't pitched for 2 years.
He was the last time he pitched, he was the Cy Young Award winner. Okay? The last time he pitched, he won the Cy Young. 21 wins. He was outstanding. So
last time he pitched, there was no such thing as, well, that's not true. There was COVID because he pitched one game. But when you're talking about it, it wasn't even pandemic. We didn't even have pandemics going.
That's right.
Tom Brady was a patriot.
Relatively speaking, in the history of the world, the pandemic was nothing.
Aaron Rodgers was having a bad year, and they were getting ready to. They were doing their homework on drafting Jordan Love.
He had one bad game.
Who?
Aaron Rodgers.
In 2019?
No.
I said in 2019. The last time you're talking about it, Aaron Rodgers wasn't good that year.
Oh.
Relative to who he was.
And he's won two MVPs since then.
I know, but this guy hasn't.
Two MVPs since then.
You mean he's played?
Yeah.
Yeah, this guy didn't play during any of that time.
No, you know what,
though? Other than one
less tread.
He's all the tread's on there. That's why he had surgery.
Tread
is why he had to have surgery, because there's not tread. So Lance McCullers is good then, because of the tread.
No,
he doesn't have as much tread. There's a lot more tread because he doesn't pitch as much.
No. I'm
just trying to be realistic. Like, we're expecting. I'm telling you, I'm doing it too. I'm just expecting an aging pitcher. How old is Justin Verlander right now?
Justin Verlander is 38. 30. What is he?
Yeah. I mean, because those pitchers are always at their very best.
No, they're at their best.
After an arm injury?
No, he's going to be great. You know what? He's going to be
He's 39 right now. And he'll be 39 all year. His birthday's in February.
What's his birthday in February? That's my birthday.
February 20th.
Oh, no. That sucks. February 20th blows. A 39 years old.
39-year-old guy coming off of 2 years of not pitching and an arm injury.
Yeah. Like, he's going to be perfect.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're banking on, at least. That's what I'm banking on. I feel like it's just going to be, 17 wins is no big deal. He hasn't pitched for 2 years, and I know they'll have him on a very strict pitch count.
Over Lance McCullers starts this year.
Half? No, realistically, I'd say, based on him not showing up, he said he'll be out for the early part of the season.
If he gets better. He's not ready yet. So what does it he's not ready yet mean to you?
20 and a half starts.
What does it mean?
I'm taking him out for 3 months.
Right. He's still got tightness in his forearm.
I mean, not 3 months.
What does tightness in your forearm usually mean?
Not 3 months. I meant 3 weeks. Tightness in forearm means you need a deep tissue massage like this.
Oh.
See what I'm doing right here?
That's what got Deshaun in trouble.
That's not a massage. Mm-hmm. That's not a massage.
And Correa. Ribs.
Correa's was really deep. It broke a rib. Deshaun's got uncomfortably deep, and that was through his choice. And there was this motion. And there was this.
There was a little baby towel on it.
Allegedly.
I brought my own towel. I get too hot with that sheet on me.
So I brought this hand towel.
This washcloth.
Or don't.
This washcloth I brought with
me. So you can just push that aside if you want. You don't mind me when I do this hump, do you? I'm just going to do some moves here, and you just, respond the way that you feel like responding. No, those are not the massage. I'm talking about just deep tissue massage right here in the upper forearm, wherever it is. Yeah. Loosen that up, and let's go.
Yeah.
Let's get ready to go.
I'm sorry. Sorry. But
seriously, he's going to be on a very, very strict pitch count. An innings count. How often does Justin Verlander get into, how often does he complete six innings this year? Over under, if I said 12 and a half starts.
That's pretty good over six innings, especially for a 39-year-old.
Uh-huh.
That's a lot.
No, I'm giving him, I'm telling you, I'm super optimistic.
But now Justin I want to be Dusty telling Justin Verlander you're not going back out for the seventh with shutout.
Well, Dusty's a bossy guy now. Do you remember how old Dusty is? When's the last time old people care what you think?
Well,
there's one guy. Now, AJ would be like, okay, but I just feel like this is not the thing. You know what Dusty will say with a toothpick in his mouth, two sweatbands and a watch on one of his sweatbands, and those gloves that he wears, not batting gloves, but when he wears his like dishwashing gloves,
yeah,
he's because of COVID and he has dish gloves on, he's going to say, I don't care what you want. Do you know how old I am? Old guys don't care what anyone says.
This is true. D Green says Verlander hasn't pitched in 2 years. He's only 37.
Oh, that's how that works.
Yeah, that's how it works. He hasn't pitched in 2 years.
In 2019, how many times do you think he went into or he completed six innings? It's a lot.
Uh-huh. A bunch. Went more than six?
He did it six out of seven times in the first month alone.
Yeah. He went six innings or more.
Oh my gosh, he went. He went just six what he innings does. Or more. That's all he did. I'm saying 12.
No.
That's all he ever did was go six or more.
That's right. So more than six is. Listen, if pitch count gets up there, he's out of the game. You're going to have to. 713-7803. Oh, no. We got News of the Weird coming your way next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got some awesome Korean, North Korean basketball rules that we will share with you on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Man, there was a mysterious death. And actually, it's on 48 Hours. And it's entitled The Poisonous Wife. Apparently, a man was laying face down in a pool of blood. Ben Rennick, the owner of the business Rennick Reptiles and a world-renowned snake breeder. Apparently, it was believed that the snake, he'd been killed by his own snakes. But then, investigators realized snakes can't shoot a gun. So snakes are no longer suspects in the case.
So a snake can't wrap itself around a trigger and squeeze it?
Yeah, they don't think he can do that. Yeah.
I mean, it'd take a lot to aim it also. I mean, it'd obviously be an accident probably.
Right.
Unless the snakes were making their move.
They're
adaptive. They're adaptive creature.
You don't know.
They're not necessarily the octopus, but they're adaptive creatures.
Apparently, some parents have admitted that they encourage their children to take weapons to school. Is this something that you encourage your children?
My children are the weapons.
Yeah. With their mouth?
Mouths, minds. Mason's gotten pretty good at psychological
warfare.
Yes. Yeah. I've noticed him like making comments to me that are super passive aggressive as he laughs, and I realize he's getting in my head. Mason's starting to take on a Lecter type tone.
Mm-hmm.
He's starting to figure out he plays games with people with psychologically. So yeah, that's a weapon.
It is a weapon.
Look what Miggs did to himself. Lecter is able. No, Lecter. Not that. Not the first thing.
No,
the second one.
When he threw.
No, not that one.
Oh,
okay. Not that one. The other one.
Okay. The mayor of Chicago is apparently under some fire.
Do you know that's Lori Lightfoot is her name?
Yeah.
Do you know who her dad is? Gordon Lightfoot.
No, it's not Gordon Lightfoot.
Might be.
The wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald?
Yeah, the Canadian guy?
Yeah, no, that's not him.
Well, we don't know that for sure.
Well, being the mayor of Chicago, it's not something that's often said. I have the biggest D in Chicago, said Lightfoot.
What does D stand for in this particular instance?
D? Yeah. D. That's what she said.
Tell me more about these comments.
She said, apparently in some speech, she said, I have the biggest D in Chicago. She's a woman.
I know,
not
but
sure.
Why?
I don't.
Can
I'm
you
not
tell going, me why she said she has that? Because I'm curious what else was going on here.
Mm. Apparently, or she's also being sued for defamation after she allegedly berated a group of lawyers during a heated meeting over the removal of the Christopher Columbus statue.
And then also told them she had the biggest D.
Yeah, she said, I got the biggest D right here.
Wow. I hate to say that's a ballsy move. Ironically, it's a ballsy move to say you got the biggest D.
Right.
When you're A, any mayor, and B, a female mayor.
You make some kind of secret agreement with Italians. What you're doing, you're out there measuring your D with the Italians, seeing who's got the biggest D. You're out there stroking your D over
is this really what she said?
She said this is her stizzes.
And what's she talking about with the Italians?
She's over the Columbus statue. I'm trying to keep Chicago police officers from being shot. You're trying to get them shot. She said, my D's bigger than yours and the Italians. I had the biggest D in Chicago, she says.
She's bad-mouthing you.
What that, woman?
Oh, woman. What she said about the Italians? You going to let it get away with this, John? She's like, oh, with the Italians. No, she didn't take a shot at the Germans. Sam.
Apparently, North Korea has basketball. Kim Jong-un loves basketball.
Loves basketball. Loves Dennis Rodman.
He invited Dennis Rodman to play, right? And they hit it off. And now it's believed Kim Jong-un has added a few of his own amendments to the regulations of basketball. Here's a rundown. Slam dunks are worth 3 points. Do you like slam dunks being worth 3 points?
I mean, not in this country. It's too easy. They should probably be worth 1.5.
Well, but it does sometimes add psychological.
Now, in Korea, dunk? Make it a 5-pointer.
Make it a 40-pointer.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming
I'm not sure it's happening.
That's a little bit more of a long shot, but go ahead.
3-point shots are awarded 4 points if the ball doesn't touch the rim. A swish.
How many? So who decides? Is it Kim Jong? Are we Ill or Un now? I can't remember. Yeah. Does he hold up a placard, green and red?
The referee could see it didn't touch the rim.
How often do they have to stop the game to check a rim?
No,
touches?
You just go four. You just run.
Whatever out. He says is good.
Run. Unless Kim Jong-un overrules it.
Then we'd be able to politicize.
Then the referees
in this country,
killed
we
immediately.
Could politicize that.
Then the referees killed immediately.
Yeah. What else?
1 point is deducted for every missed free throw.
That's not bad. No, that's a deterrent.
Okay. All right. Make your free throws, brother.
I like there's another one coming up that I kind of like.
Hold on. Here we go.
Any
field goal made in the last 3 seconds of a game is given 8 points.
I mean, basically, you hang on to if you're losing by 9 points, you just wait. If you're losing by 10 points, you just wait. No, because. Oh, yeah. It's worth 8 points. Yeah. So if you're losing by, you're right. If you're losing by eight.
By seven.
Or seven.
Three. Two. Shoot.
Now shoot. Yeah. Don't shoot early.
No. Never shoot early in the shot clock. Ever. And then games can tie in an end. I mean, can end in a tie. Although it was played under traditional basketball, the game that Kim and Rodman witnessed in 2013 ended in a 110-110 tie. And if it's game seven of their championship, it could end in a tie, and we're all tied. Oh, well. I like it, though. 8 points for a basket in the last 3 seconds. That's fun. That's just good, clean fun for the whole family. Kirk Cousins was given an No, that's not news of the weird. That's just regular news. Sorry. A 250-pound Russian man chained himself to the closing McDonald's and tried not to let them close the McDonald's in Russia.
I wouldn't mess with Russia at all on any front. Just if I'm a Russian, although they're out there marching, all I can think of is, boy, you people are bold.
Oh no!
Do y'all know how good Putin's
there's tens
poison
of
game
thousands
is?
Of them have been arrested.
Yeah,
Putin's protesting
poison game is strong.
Oh
now.
No!
Everyone's accidentally poisoned.
Right.
Who crosses this guy?
And oh my!
I don't know. Looks like he caught the case of the poisons again. I don't know.
It's rampant. A Florida man called 911.
Leave McDonald's open. I chained myself.
No.
Do you think your chain will stop poison? I'll unchain.
No.
I'll unchain myself.
No, that's not. McDonald's closed because they're not going to support Russia. So it wasn't Putin that closed the McDonald's. McDonald's closed because they don't want to be supporting Russia. So the guys that
McDonald's doesn't get to make somebody and a franchisee bought that. And said, I'm going to bring it to Russia.
No, McDonald's had a lot of pressure.
McDonald's couldn't.
He had a lot of pressure
keep
on
sending
him.
It's a little late. The ice cream machine broken.
Ice cream machine's broken everywhere, pal. No ice cream machine's working. You're doing this because we're Mother Russia. I swear to you, there's no ice cream machines at work in a McDonald's.
Anywhere.
Do you know how to get best fries? Tell them no
being
salt.
Being sued over it.
Tell them no salt and they will make fresh fries. It's McDonald's trick created by Ken Hoffman.
They don't know the Ken Hoffman. Florida man called 911. They wanted cops to test his meth. Do you think that the cops should actually test meth for drug dealers?
No, I don't think they should. Well, I think they could test them, and then it's like that gun program or like, oh, you're going to a free game, all you guys who have these tickets, unpaid tickets, and then it's a trap. It's a trap because then you get arrested.
Well, he was concerned that his meth had been purchased was actually bath salts. So I think he's pretty smart. No, that's a drug addict.
Yeah, that's a reasonable.
You know what? Do you want to take bath salts?
No.
All I hear is you eat people when you take bath salts.
Hey, y'all got... Is that a Florida man that did that?
Yeah, Florida man.
Hey, y'all got any kind of testing like in movies, you know, where you put that juice on it and it turns red if it's real Coke and then blue if it's not Coke or whatever? Do y'all have any of that for bath salts? Yes, we do. Why? Well, I've got some fresh meth that I bought, and I'm worried it might be bath salts. Yeah, 100% bring that in. We'll just make sure you stay anonymous. Just wear a mask, like for your mouth, so you don't give us COVID. And then just come on in and drop it off. We'll do a real quick meth test on it and make sure it's not bath salts. And, yeah, you're good.
Yeah, bring it in.
So y'all promise you're not. Yeah. This ain't a trick. No. No, we would not trick a Florida.
Bring your meth in.
Bring the meth in.
All right, we're done. We're bringing in Vanessa and Gallant next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Y'all have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, man.
Bye, bitch.
ESPN 97.5. Gopher.